You know, if you weren't here on Friday, you missed it. We had a great time. Had a talent show here together. Even though there was four people clapping, there were about 75 here, I promise. We had about 20 different things going up on here on the platform. And so I want to thank everyone who was a part of that. It was a wonderful time together.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you have given us in this day. Lord, the fact that we woke up this morning is a gift of God. It is a grace that you show us, Lord, that we did not deserve. We did nothing to earn or to work for this day. But yet, God, because you are a cheerful giver, you have given it to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us make the most of this day. We don't want to waste your gifts, oh God. We want to use them greatly. And so, God, I pray, would you bless our time right here? You know, just as we bless the children, God, would you bless us here as we open your Bible, as we see the wonderful word that you have for us today, God. And help us, Lord, to make the most of this time, to open our eyes, to open our hearts, that we might see you, that we might feel you, Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. We are now in our second week of Advent. Here in just a few weeks, it'll be Christmas time already. And one thing I've noticed about December is December tends to be a month that looks pretty similar year after year. Think of all the things you do in December. You're probably working on your Christmas shopping. Maybe you're finished by now. Maybe you haven't started. I don't know. You're setting up decorations. You're scheduling different family events and family get-togethers. Life just kind of goes on routine. It goes on autopilot mode as we're going through these last few weeks until we get to New Year's. But then it always seems that life happens. You know, when we have our month, when we have our weeks planned out, sometimes life just gets in the way. Sometimes crisis strikes. Maybe you're on your way driving to go and visit some of those distant family members, and your tire blows out down the highway. And so you're able to pull over to safety, but you're stuck in a town far away from home, and you've already cleared out your checking account to make room for all those gifts that are in the back. You might be left wondering, what on earth am I going to do? Or maybe you had a routine checkup at the doctor where you received some very unroutine news. You see, the doctors, they did their scans and they found out that the cancer is back. But it's Christmas time. You don't want to tell your family because you don't want to be a bummer to everybody. So you're left wondering, what on earth am I going to do? Or maybe your teenage daughter takes the time here to tell you that she's pregnant. She's scared, she's confused. Maybe you're angry. You have all kinds of questions. Is she going to finish school? What are we going to do? How will the family respond? And you're left wondering, what on earth am I going to do? See, we all face these crisis moments in our lives. And for some reason, it seems as if these crisis moments huddle around major times of the year, like Christmas. You know, earlier when we prayed for those in the hospital, we've got a lot of people in this house right now that are facing all kinds of great needs. They're facing a crisis moment. And many of them are wondering, what on earth am I going to do? You know, a crisis moment that we're seeing more and more in this day and age is something called a crisis pregnancy. This is where there's an unplanned pregnancy. A woman has found out that she's pregnant, typically in these situations, the father is not there at all. And so this woman is left wondering, what on earth am I going to do? Now, how we respond to these moments, that's determined by things we've already decided within our hearts. How we respond when crisis strikes, it's already been decided by the principles, by the convictions that you have. You see, if you go through life without principles and without convictions, you have nothing to anchor you. And you'll be blown to and fro with every change in culture, with every change in fad. But God, He is our ultimate anchor. We can have a faith in God. And this faith in God that we have, it's not just for when the days are going great, for when one day turns into another and you get into your daily routines. Our faith in God is for when crisis strikes as well. To show you this today, I'm going to show you a story of a young woman who's having her life turned upside down. Now, she's probably 13 or 14 years old, somewhere in there. She comes from a humble family, a poor family. We don't know much about her parents. We don't know much about what they did. But we knew that while her basic needs were probably met, she didn't have much beyond that. Now, her family, they lived in their home country, but it was occupied by a foreign military. And so every day when they would get up and go outside, they would see those soldiers of the occupying nation, and they would be reminded that they had no control over their own lives. And in order to pay for those soldiers to be there, this occupying nation imposed high, high taxes on the people. And so they would work hard only to see the majority of that go to pay for the soldiers that they didn't want there in the first place. Now, this woman, she had something to look forward to. She was getting ready to get married. Her soon-to-be husband, he was a carpenter, which means he would also have been of humble means. He would have been able to meet her basic needs, but not much beyond that. She knew that her life had been hard for these 13 or 14 years, and she knew that the rest of her life would probably be the same way. But then she had a moment that turned her life upside down. You see, this 13-year-old girl found out she was pregnant. But this was no ordinary pregnancy. You see, she found out about this pregnancy in a very extraordinary way. One day she was going about her daily business, probably cleaning up the house, doing her chores around the house. And then out of nowhere, whoosh, in pops an angel. Anybody ever experienced that? That'd be awesome. And this angel, he had a message for her. Let's see what that message is. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And let's see what that message is for our young woman, whose name, by the way, is Mary. Luke chapter 1, it's right at the beginning of the New Testament. We're going to start reading in verse 26. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll pop up on the screen in just a moment. Starting in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy," we'll talk about her in just a moment, "God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And this virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and probably at the appearance of an angel as well. And she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. What in the world is going on?" Look at verse 30. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Didn't we sing about that this morning? You know, the passage that Ken read from or quoted this morning, that was written some 700 years before the birth of Christ. And the angel has come and said, what has been promised so long before, that's happening right now. You see, the people of God had been looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah was to be their Savior, was to be the one that would break the bondage that they feel, both internally within them, but also externally. The chains, the slavery that they had to endure. The Messiah would come, and his kingdom would be one of peace. His kingdom would never end. The Messiah was going to usher in a new age for God's people. And the angel Gabriel, he comes and he speaks to this young woman named Mary, and he says, that Messiah that you've been looking forward to, that your people have been looking forward to for thousands of years, he's coming. And you are going to be his mama. Imagine how she would react to that. There probably would have been joy and excitement. Probably would have been fear and confusion. Mary would have been scared because who would have believed her? Remember, she's engaged to be married. Who's going to believe her that this child that she's pregnant with came from God? As you'll read, if you keep reading through the gospel, you'll discover that not many people believed Mary. Her soon-to-be husband didn't believe her at first. And then an angel appeared to him. Then he believed. You'll see that as Jesus grew, as he became a man, he was mocked and insulted as if he was the son of an adulterous affair, which couldn't be further from the truth. But it showed that while Jesus was 30 years old, the people still didn't believe that the angel Gabriel had visited Mary. But all that's in the future for Mary. Right now, she's got an angel in her house and doesn't know what to do about it. Let's keep reading. We'll see how Mary is confused about this. Verse 34, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is already in her sixth month. Gabriel was telling Mary, you can trust God. Your faith in God is well placed. It is secure. And then he gives her some proof for that. He says, look to Elizabeth, this relative of Mary, who is far beyond the years to have children. And the angel says, she is expecting a child. Trust God. And then the angel makes the surest statement we can ever hear about how trustworthy God is. Look at verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. No word from God ever has failed. No word from God ever will fail. Our God is a promise-keeping God. Come on now. Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So the angel leaves just as he came. And now Mary's left wondering, what on earth am I going to do? You see, maybe she could go to her father and say, Dad, I'm pregnant. An angel told me that this child's from God. Yeah, right. I heard that a few times, yeah. Dad's not going to buy that. And in the culture where he lived in, her father would have had the power, the authority to turn her out and say, you're on your own now. Go figure out life. Which would have destined her to be either a beggar or a prostitute. So she doesn't want to go to Dad. Maybe she was thinking, why don't I go to Joseph, my fiancé, and say, honey, guess what? Well, she didn't do that either. But she remembered what the angel said about Elizabeth. She remembered that Elizabeth is experiencing something miraculous as well. So she says, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go to Elizabeth. She will understand what's happening to me. And so off Mary goes to go and to see her relative. You see, Mary has confidence in God. Remember, she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. She has a confident faith already. But she's going to Elizabeth to have her confidence strengthened, to see yet again that she can put her faith in God. And so in verse 39, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. And why is that? Because no word of God will ever fail. There's some great things here I want you to see. Who was the first person to recognize the Messiah? Elizabeth's unborn baby. Now, why is that? Well, before this, an angel appeared to Zechariah, to Elizabeth's husband, and said, you're going to have a baby. And one of the things that he told Zechariah is this, that this child will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. The Holy Spirit living within unborn John told him that the Messiah is coming. And then as the baby leaps for joy, Elizabeth becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. And she sees Mary and she knows the truth about Mary. And Mary was going to Elizabeth hoping to find someone that would understand her. But Elizabeth, when she sees her, she knows already everything. Why is that? The Holy Spirit told her. She had a divine revelation of what was going on in Mary's life. And so before Mary's able to tell her anything, Elizabeth opens with praise and becomes the first person to proclaim Jesus as her personal Lord. Wow. This is wonderful, church. And so Mary, as she's hearing this from Elizabeth, as she's seeing the signs going on around her, even on her journey to Elizabeth, would have taken about 3 or 4 days, as she's pondering everything that's been shown to her, I imagine that she's left the place. She left the thoughts of what on earth am I going to do now? And now, I think she's able to say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know this, God is with me. Amen. And that's enough. Many of you are going through your own moments of crisis. We have several that aren't here today because they're out facing their moments of crisis. You see, when we first have a crisis, when that first strikes, we might be stuck in asking this question, what on earth am I going to do? But with God, we're able to say, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen with my medical needs. I don't know what's going to happen with this court battle that I'm facing. I don't know what's going to happen. But God is with me. Amen. And that's enough. That's the faith that God invites us into. That's the confident faith that we can only have in God. You see, without that level of faith, we're stuck with our own insecurities. We're stuck with our own shortcomings. We're stuck with anxiety, wondering, I don't know what to do, and it's all up to me. If I don't do something, nothing's going to happen. But with God, we can say, I don't know what's going to happen next. It's okay not to know. But I know this, God is with me. And that's enough. So we can have a confident faith in God, even in moments of crisis. But the question I want to ask is this, what is the foundation of that faith? What is there that's holding that faith up? What's going to support it during those crisis moments and during the rough times that we're all going to experience in life? Well, our confident faith, it's based on God's mighty works. You see, we can have a faith in who God is because of what He has done and what He continues to do. Focus on the works of God. Look in your life. See how God has blessed you. See the gifts that God has given you. And then trust Him to keep doing just that. That's what Mary does. If we return to our story, look at verse 46. Mary here, as she's with Elizabeth, as she sees proof that Elizabeth is pregnant, even though she's far beyond the age, as she hears the Holy Spirit speaking through this unborn child, through Elizabeth, she breaks out in song. And we have that song recorded right here. Now I'm going to do you a favor and not sing it. You're welcome. But I'll read it to you. And this song, it's been treasured by the church, by God's people, ever since Mary sang it so many years ago. It's often known as the Magnificat because in Latin, the first word of it is magnify. It's a play off of that. But let's read this together. In verse 46, and Mary said, and Mary sang, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent away the rich empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. Why is that? For no word of God will ever fail. Our God is a promise-keeping God. Mary's only response here is to worship. It's to glorify God. It's to rejoice in God. It's to see great things of God within her life. She makes a great deal out of God right here through this song. She is pointing to the Mighty One. This is where some of our Christian brothers and sisters that go astray because they think that Mary is drawing attention to herself when she isn't. She's pointing to God. And she's saying, He has done great things for me, just as He has been doing for thousands of years. You see, she talks about Abraham there. Abraham would have lived about 2,000 years before Mary. And God spoke to Abraham, and He said, He promised to Abraham that the Messiah, the Savior to come, would come from Abraham's lineage. God is keeping that promise, for no word of God will ever fail. And then several hundred years after the time of Abraham, as Moses is leading the people out of slavery, leading them out of Egypt, He says this. He says that God is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. You see, God's people have always looked at God's awesome deeds, His mighty works, and then praised Him. Centuries later, after the time of Moses, the psalmist writes this. He says, Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. And why? Say to God, How awesome are your deeds. You know, if you're sitting down to pray and you don't know what to say, that's a good way to start right there. God, how awesome are your deeds. Mary demonstrates a confident faith in God. That's what this song is. It's a celebration of God. He is the Mighty One. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the promise-keeping God. He is the one that will always be there, no matter what. And so because of that, even when we find ourselves in moments, in times of great crisis, we can say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. But I know that God is with me. And that's enough. If you have God with you, what else could you need? Later on in the Bible, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one. No one. So turn to Him, church. Turn to God. If you've never come to a place where you've said yes to Jesus, do it. Turn to God. All the songs that we sang this morning are true. God's love and grace will cover any guilt and shame you may feel. Turn to God. He will make you whole. You might say, well, I'm broken. I can't come to God. God is the one that makes us whole. Yes. You might say, I look at my life and I see how ugly I am. God is the one that makes us beautiful. Yes. You might look at yourself and say, I've fallen short in so many ways. What could God want with me? And the answer is everything. Yes. You know, when we sang this morning, that we are engraved on the palms of God's hands. That's another reference to the Old Testament, to Isaiah. God was speaking through the prophet and telling His people to rejoice in God. And His people responded, why? How can we rejoice in God? They feared that God had left them. You ever feared that God has left you? And God's response was this. He says, can a nursing mother forget her own baby? Can a mom forget the child on whom she has had compassion? And then He says, these may even forget. Though they do, I will never forget you. And then he says, your name is written on the palms of my hands. You see, in the culture of the day, a servant would write the name of his master on his hands because he drew his identity from the one he served. He lived to serve them, and so their names were written on their hands. We would expect God to say that we need to write him on our hands and to serve him. But what does God say? He flips that. He says, I will write your name on my hands. I will serve you. My identity is with you. God cannot forget you, even if he tried. Mary sings. She rejoices that God has been mindful of her. God's mind and thoughts and his heart has been full of Mary. God's thoughts are full of you. Turn to him. Turn to him today. Now, maybe you're here and maybe you've turned to Jesus years ago and you've been following him for years. You've seen God work in the moments of crisis in your life. Help others as they walk through their crises. Show them how to walk with Jesus. You know, here in a few weeks, it's Christmas. And the Sunday before Christmas is one of the highest attended Sundays of the year. It's an easy time to invite people to church. People that wouldn't go to church any other time, they'll come for Christmas. So invite them. If there's someone you've been ministering to, someone you've been building a relationship with that's hesitant about church, invite them to come on the 22nd. It's a great time for them to have a connection in worship, a connection in prayer, a connection to the word being preached, but most importantly, a connection to God and his people. Turn to Jesus. If you get nothing else out of the message today, let it be this: turn to Jesus. He's with you when life is going amazingly well, and he's with you when it feels like life couldn't get any worse. He is with you. Now, the story of Mary, it resonates with me greatly, with the story of seeing her navigate her own pregnancy, her own crisis pregnancy. And the reason is because we experienced something similar. You see, my wife and I, we found ourselves pregnant when we were still in high school. And then, even though I wasn't pursuing God, I saw how greatly he was pursuing me.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You see, God brought many spirit-filled, God-loving people into our lives to guide us, to help us, to minister to us.
Amen.
And just a few weeks ago, we got to celebrate our son's 13th birthday. And it's all because the Mighty One has done great things for me. And he wants to do great things for you. Turn to him. Place your faith in him. He'll never, never let you down. Now, there are others in our community right here that are seeking to minister to people with or are experiencing a crisis pregnancy. One such group, it's called the My Life Clinic. They're located downtown on Providence Road. They're doing wonderful things for women who are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, who are over here and they're asking, what on earth am I going to do? You know, as a church, and now I'm talking as a Big C church, as the church across America, we rightfully, I believe, very rightfully, we speak against abortion. We pray against it. We preach against it. But there's a gap. Because while we pray and we preach and we intercede against abortion, the women are still asking this question: what on earth am I going to do? We need ministries that will step in, that will minister to them, that will reach them, that will guide them, the same way that I needed that 13 years ago. One such ministry seeking to do that is the Mind Life Clinic. Now, through our Christmas offering, if you're a guest with us, each Sunday in December, we're collecting a second offering at the end of service. And the funds collected will go exclusively to support benevolence and missions work, both around our community and around the world. And one such ministry that we're looking to support is the My Life Clinic. Now, coincidentally, if you believe in that stuff, one of our members here is on the board of directors there. You can't make this stuff up. And so I invited, and by invited, I mean strong-armed, him to come up and to share some stuff with us about the Mind Life Clinic. So church, let's welcome Pablo Serna. Come on up here, Pablo.
Thank you, Michael.
I want you to take a few minutes, tell us about the Mind Life Clinic and the great things going on there. Is the microphone on? There it is. All right.
1, 2, 3.
Go for it.
It's been a pleasure for me to be part of the Life Network of Central Missouri. That's a nonprofit, and they're like an umbrella organization that collects the donations for my Life Clinic. I didn't have anything special to be called to be part of the board of directors. I just have a passion for life and knowing that God made each of us. Yeah. We read in Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Even though to us, it could be an unplanned pregnancy, that was not unplanned. Did anyone watch the movie Unplanned? Anyone? Raise your hand. Yeah, it is a beautiful movie that... It's not meant to judge people that had decided to get an abortion, but it's a proof of there is hope when that has happened. And there is value in the life of each baby that has been created since the time of conception. So sometimes the argument that some people use is like, yo, you're a man, you cannot get pregnant, you can just leave. You're not a woman, you haven't experienced a pregnancy. But we look at the bigger picture, that every life is valuable. Right. I mean, we're here because our moms decided to have us, planned or unplanned, but we're here because of the grace of God. Yeah. So this organization that I'm part of, they help women free of cost with pregnancy tests that at Planned Parenthood, that's $30 right there. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you have to pay for the pregnancy test there. But here you can have it free. It's very strategically located, close to Planned Parenthood. So, okay, it's $30 there. It's free there. Maybe I'll go there. So that's something great. And we just want women to go to that place and feel the love of God. So when they go there, even when they're just like thinking what Michael was saying, like, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with this pregnancy? That when they go there, we have so many testimonies of women just feeling loved. And they don't even can explain why. Is that those women there are loving on them so much. But it's because of God's love. So they give services like pregnancy tests, some STD tests, some ultrasound, and all of that is free for them. And not only that, but they help them physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. When we look at the webpage, My Life Clinic, it talks about, okay, abortion, what's abortion and all that. That information needs to be there. It's not that they're trying to, hey, you know, yeah, abortion is an option too. We can help you with that too. That's not the point. But sometimes women don't know. Sometimes they don't even know they're pregnant. I was like, okay, why am I gaining so much weight? I mean, it's crazy. It sounds like weird, but sometimes that happens. So when they know that maybe they're pregnant, like, they don't even know what the consequences of an abortion, what the side effects of an abortion, what the procedure is like. So they tell women about the options that they have, but of course, pursuing saving that baby. Abortion is one of those things that you're punishing the most innocent one. It's like the consequences of our actions, intended or not. There are consequences to everything we do or that we don't do. We're punishing the most innocent one when there is an abortion. So what they want to do is help those women see that there is a plan for each of us. There's a plan that God has put in our lives. That even just when they have that baby, there are things that can be done to help them. So they have different things. Like if they continue, like if they decide, okay, I'm going to have my baby. Like the reaction just with the ultrasounds. A lady a couple of months ago, she was very decided to have an abortion. She just wanted to make sure that she was pregnant. And then when she got there, it wasn't only one baby. There were two babies. But she said that, this is the funny thing, that when she saw that there were two, it was like the one that they weren't thinking that would be there kind of saved the other one because she didn't want to have an abortion with two babies. Amen. So just the ultrasound thing, it could change the whole thing. So there are things that they can do. If they join a Bible study, and by the way, they look for volunteers, they can run a Bible study once a week. So that is not just about money. Mm-hmm. But it's about what can we do to help these women see that there is value in their lives and the life of their babies. So if they joined the Bible study, just to say an example, they collect baby bucks. And so with those baby bucks, they can get like more diapers or they can get like breastfeeding bras like those, you know. Mm-hmm. I said bras to some people. I was thinking, hey, dog, how's it going?
And thank you, Pablo, for coming up here. That was
okay. So, yeah. So they can get stuff from the store. They have like a little store, and that's when our help comes too. It's like, okay, can you donate a bag of diapers? You that have kids know how diapers just go like that, you know? So they have different size of diapers, so they need diapers. They need a formula. They need things. So that's all the stuff that they have for women when they decide to have their babies. But when they decide to continue with their plan and have an abortion, they also have counseling for those women because there are consequences to that abortion. And it's not just the life of that baby. Yeah. There are consequences to the women that sometimes they don't see or they cannot see because of what they're dealing with. But they offer counseling to those women, and they pursue them. If someone doesn't come back after the ultrasound, they call, they try to get in touch with the person. And you know that it's not because of the money, because it's a nonprofit. They don't get any money. But it's because they care about that mom. Baby or not, she is a mom.
That's right.
And they pursue them. So I think it's a great organization, and they depend on people's donations. So I encourage you to consider helping, not just with money, but your time too. Bible studies, just volunteering there. It's a great opportunity to let people, especially women, but also the men that a lot of times come with the moms too, help them see that there's value in the life of that baby and there's value in their lives. Wherever situation they're going through, they're valued and loved.
That's right. And if you have any questions about my life, Pablo's here. Talk to him after service. But this is a ministry that's looking to step into that gap of helping women and men, but helping women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy. So what we're going to do now, we're going to collect our Christmas offering. We're going to pray over that. And then as we're collecting the offering, I want to invite our worship band to come back up onto the platform. Because as soon as we're finished with our offering, we're going to close out in a time of worship. Let's pray, church. Lord, I pray a blessing over this Christmas offering, oh God. And I pray a blessing over My Life Clinic, over the work that they are doing to minister both to the children and to the moms and to those who are experiencing a crisis in their life. And they simply don't know what to do. Would you bless them, God? Would you provide for them? Bless this offering, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you are the mighty one, God. We say how great and awesome are your deeds, God. The wonders that you work in us and through us and around us, oh Lord. We praise you, God. For who are we, oh Lord, that you should think of us, but yet you are mindful of your people. Your heart, your mind is full of thoughts of your people, God, of your church. Lord, bless us now. As we go out, God, help us to take that love, take that grace to the world around us, God, that all might see and that all might know the greatness of our God. Bless us now, Lord. Bless us now. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, church. God bless you.